Looking forward to a good time of fellowship here in a few moments. I feel like so much has already been accomplished in this gathering today. I fear sometimes that we get ourselves set up for disappointment in a gathering like this, that we at times miss the thing that we came looking for because we're looking for it in a certain format. Looking for it in that certain format puts pressure on the people that are trying to come up with the format. To get the right format so that you can get what you need in the format you're looking for. That sounds like a merry-go-round to me. And then you leave disappointed. Not you guys, but people leave disappointed. I didn't get what I came for because it didn't go like I thought it was going to go. I kept waiting for them. I kept waiting for the preacher. I kept waiting for the invitation. There comes a moment in time in each believer's life where I have to reach out and take a hold of what I need. I have to receive it, and I have to be hanging on every single turn of the Spirit of God in a gathering like this. Anybody here ever rode a roller coaster? You know where I like to be on a roller coaster? In the very front. I want to be in the first car because the thing about being in the first car is you never know where it's going. So the most excitement is to be in the first car. And I like to get on them roller coasters that just, they like to dive and turn. And you can't see the track. Anybody ever rode that roller coaster at Six Flags Magic Mountain in California where you stood up and they strapped you? Anybody here ever ride that roller coaster? I loved that roller. I waited pretty much an entire day in line for that roller coaster because I rode it multiple times. I love that roller coaster because the roller coaster hung from the rack above. The track was above you. And I loved being in the front of that thing because you couldn't see anything. All you had was space in front of you. And that thing whipped you everywhere. You were going straight. Next thing you know, you were going left. And then you'd be going up. And then you'd be going down. And I loved that. Because it was the unknown that kept you on the edge of your seat. Knowing where in the world are we going next. Now, my dad's favorite ride was, I think it was Superman at the time. I know what the ride is, but I don't know what they call it. I think it was Superman. Is that where they put you in a car? The whole ride lasted like 9 seconds. Waited 3 hours in line, got in a car, waited 9 seconds. So you could sit in this car with about 5-10 other people, and you sit there, and the thing shot you out of this tunnel and like 200 feet up in the air, stop, and then come straight down. That was his favorite ride. I said, Dad, what's the excitement in this? You know exactly where you're going. You know when you're coming back. You know how long it's going to last. This is stupid. But since he waited in line with me, that's the thing about when you go to those places. I didn't go to them when I was young. I went to when I was like 17 years old. So I was having all kinds of fun. But I love that. I love roller coasters. And if you've ridden roller coasters, you know what I'm saying. But sometimes we got to have the same anticipation, expectation when we come to church. Because if the Spirit turns left and I'm still going straight, then I'm going to find myself in the middle of nowhere wondering where in the world, where's everybody at? I'm waiting on, I came here today to hear the preacher because the preacher's going to have a word for me today. Whoever's going to be preaching is going to have something for me. I believe I'm going to get my word in the preaching today. And what you didn't know is the person that the Lord prompted us to have do announcements is going to take 30 seconds and talk about something. It's going to be your answer, but unfortunately you were in the bathroom waiting for all the preliminaries to get over so you could get to the preaching and get your answer. And then you leave disappointed. Or I'm just giving analogies here. That I'm not saying that necessarily happens here, but I have to be cognizant of the fact that every single individual who has any involvement, from the person who shook my hand at the front door, to the person who shakes my hand on the way out the door, you don't know where your answer is going to come. What it is that you're looking for, you're going to receive, but I've got to be cognizant of that. And so I'm appreciative of the Lord in every single moment, every single avenue of a gathering like this, that he chooses to minister to people in such a way. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Everybody say they went to jail. Just a holding cell, though. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Can you imagine that for a second? You're preaching Jesus and him crucified. You're preaching the resurrection of the dead. You're preaching the resurrection of a guy that the whole community saw crucified, saw taken down, put into a grave. You're preaching his resurrection, that he is alive. You saw him with your own eyes. You witnessed it. You put your fingers in the nail scars in his hands. You know. You're preaching this, and people are like, so they arrest you, put you in jail, and then you get word that while you were preaching, 5,000 people got saved. We so many times get hung up on our current circumstances, our current situations, unaware of what God's doing around us. They didn't have Twitter back then. They didn't get their free phone call back then. They just detained them. Then they found out the next day when there were 5,000 people outside waiting on them, rejoicing. Oh, the word of the Lord accomplished something. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, the number of the men was about 5,000. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, everybody say what power, or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is a scripture, verse 12 here is a scripture that you've quoted 1,000 times, heard 1,000,000 times, and could probably recite it from memory for the vast majority of you. But there's something going on in the spirit world right now. There's something stirring within the apostolic church right now. And I begin to ponder this today, because we talk about being people of the name. We're people of the name of Jesus. We're baptized in his name. We walk in the authority and the power of his name. But I don't know that altogether at times we truly understand that. I wonder at times if those are just things that we say. They're nice things that we repeat. Well, people of the name of Jesus. Well, what's that mean? Well, I've been baptized in his name. Well, what's that mean? Well, when I pray in the name of Jesus. Well, what's that mean? Why do I pray in the name of Jesus? Why do I believe that there's power in the name of Jesus? And I said this a couple of weeks ago in passing from the pulpit, but it's something that continues to stick with me. And if you were in the teacher's meeting with Brother Fowler, we're living in a generation of people who don't want to just know from a knowledge perspective. They need an experience. And I can tell someone that there's power in the name of Jesus. I can tell someone that at the name of Jesus, the scripture says that every knee's going to bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of all, and that all power and authority is in that name. And I can say that to somebody. I can tell you today, you know what? There's power in the name of Jesus. I can attempt to explain to you the things that have transpired by the prayers of his saints in Jesus' name. I can attempt to do all those things today, but something transpires when I, for myself, get a hold of an understanding of the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. Now, I've had the Holy Ghost this year, sometime after October, will be about 30 years. That's a long time. My wife continues to remind me that I'm getting really close to 40. In fact, it's become a running joke for her. She loves to text my family, include me, and remind me that I'm getting close to 40. She thinks it's funny. I don't. Anybody who's ever gotten close to 40, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But even after 30 years of having the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I still don't think, I'm admitting to you today, because if you're sitting here saying, you know what? Man, I'm 60 years old. I'm 70 years old. I've been doing this since I was 15. I've been doing this since I was 5. I got 60 years in this thing. I'm admitting to you today that after 30 years, I still don't know that I grasp and fully understand what it means when I say there's power and authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. Could I take it a step further and admit to you that I don't know if I truly every day exercise to my fullest ability what it means. What it means to live and walk in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. Do I truly believe? Do I live like I believe that the day that I was baptized in Jesus' name, and that name was pronounced over me for the remission of my sins, and I begin to take on that name and I arise in newness of life, that I did more than just get a baptismal robe that was an old blue graduation robe in my church because we couldn't afford the good ones. All wet.
Yes.
There was more than just water going in my ears, and there was more than just water going up my nose, but there was something that transpired spiritually in a couple, 3 seconds of time, something that was imparted to me by a simple act. Yes, it was an act of baptism. It was an act of faith the day that I stepped into that cold water, that horse trough. In obedience to the word of God. But I still don't know 30 years later if I truly understand what it means to take on his name and to live in the authority and the power of his name. Because the scripture says that there is salvation in no other name. There is no other name that can save men. There is no other name that can heal men. There's people worshiping Islam and Buddha and all kinds of other gods out there, and they call out their names and they chant, they do seances, and they got their all their things and the rituals that they do and their incense. They light their incense and they feel something. And I've had people tell me, man, I'm telling you, I get a little bit of incense. I don't know what your experience is, but I get a little bit of incense and a little bit of something over here. And man, it takes me places. They're telling me from their experience. But I'm telling you something, if I could ever experience for myself what it means to be a cardholder of the name of Jesus, if I could ever experience what it means to understand what it is to be a son of God, to just more than call him my father in prayer and say, Father this and Father that, but to know with a surety, to say with the conviction, my father, to know that he is my father and that I am his son, and that there is no authority in this world greater than him. And if he is living in me and his name is upon me, then there's no greater authority in this world than what I possess. My goodness. There's nothing that can stand between me. There's nothing that can get in my way. There's nothing that can hinder me when I truly understand who I am, what power I possess, and what ability he has to do through me.
The reason there was such an uproar, what brought Acts 4 and 12 that says neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, was because two men were on their way to worship one day, and they walked by a man who had a cup out asking for some alms, and a man of God who simply understood what it meant to have the name of Jesus, to be in possession of the authority and power of the name of Jesus, just simply reached out his hand, and while someone was expecting a few coins, amen, he said, such as I have. Everybody say, I have. Everybody say, I have it. Everybody say, I got it. Say, I possess it. Say it with conviction. I've got it. I have it. He said, such as I have. Such as I. What do you got today? What's in your possession? What are you full of? Because what Peter was full of when he said, such as I have, and he reached out and grabbed a hold of that man, life came into bones that hadn't operated and functioned properly. Muscles and joints that lied limp and were unable to move suddenly came to life. That's what he had. Peter had something to give. I wonder sometimes, what do I have to give? I have a lot of words. I have a lot of good sayings. Oh, God bless you. Lord be with you. I love you, brother. I'll be praying for you, my favorite. How about, you know what? Next time somebody comes to you and says, you know what, I'm sick, I'm afflicted, or could you pray for my family, or could you this? You know what? I believe in the authority and the power of the name of Jesus. Oh, I know you're going to get a weird look. I'm convicted. You know, I believe in the authority and the power of the name of Jesus. I believe that if we pray together right now in Jesus' name, that he has the ability, he has the authority and the power to fix this right now. He can work in this situation in this very second. We don't have to wait a month, a year. We don't have to wait 6 years, 10 years. He can fix it right now. A couple of days ago, if any of you were on Twitter, I'm on and off Twitter. I use Twitter for information feed during sports season, football season. After that, I pretty much walk away from them because I don't really care. There's not much on there that interests me, but I really enjoy the news feeds and different things that different sports writers and stuff post, and it's cool information. But I'd forgot that Brother Wright had become very active on Twitter. I hadn't been on there since last football season ended, so what, 9 months, 8 months? I forgot how active Brother Wright had been on Twitter, and I've really enjoyed some of the stuff he's had to say as of late. But he said something a couple of days ago that struck me. He was talking about apostolic authority, which is what we're talking about here today. We're talking about walking the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, possessing it. He talked about there is no authority for someone who isn't under authority. Now, he was talking about this in light of ministry and ministering, but it applies, that the principle applies. That if I want to operate in the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, then I must be submitted to the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, yes, I can't say, I've got the power. I've got the authority. I can't say all those things and jump and shout about them and then refuse to walk in the Spirit or be led of the Spirit. Because you can't have one without the other. What did Jesus say to the centurion say to Jesus in that interaction? I don't remember the scripture off the top of my head, but the story is very vivid in my mind. He said, the centurion said, hey, listen, I'm a man under authority. I say to one, go, and he goes. I understand this whole authority thing. I'm submitted to you, Jesus. Whatever you say will happen. That's a simple concept. Father, I'm submitted. I'm your son. I understand what it means to live in sonship. I lived 18, 19 years under my dad's roof. My dad was my authority for that 18 or 19 years. I didn't always agree with everything dad said, Brother Heiner. But I wanted a place to live, and I didn't really like living outside. The barn wasn't exactly comfortable, so I just listened. He said, you don't listen to that music in this house? Well, that CD got thrown in the trash. Did I like it? Nope. He said, you don't hang out with those people. They're not a good influence. Did I like it? I thought they were friends. Nope, I didn't like it, but he was the authority, so I submitted myself to the authority. And it's no different in my relationship with God. As a son, he's my father. I'm submitted to his authority. What he says goes. If I don't like what God says and I decide to do something different, then I can't expect to walk in his authority because it's his authority. It's not mine. I have no authority. I have no power. I don't got the ability to get a flea off a dog's collar. I can barely do it with a bath and some flea rid or whatever they call that stuff. I don't have any authority. Anything that I possess is what he allows me. Everybody say allows me to operate in. And so if I'm in this place where I refuse to submit myself to him, this is why we have powerless Christians running around our world today. And this is why, I'm going to get in trouble here. This is why 99.8% of Christianity runs around the world praying prayers, ooh, singing songs, ooh. And there's nothing there. That's why you don't feel anything when they sing, and that's why you don't feel anything when they preach, because they're not submitted to anything. They're not submitted to Jesus. They don't want to believe half of what's in the book. They want to pick and choose a few verses out. That's not submission. They choose what they want. They say what they want. I remember where I heard this the other day. Somebody played a clip. Oh, I know what it was. Sister Schooner was riding in the back seat of my truck with my wife and my daughter. And she played a clip that somebody had posted. It was somebody talking about the Lord and how the Lord, you know, he wants you to have what you want and blah, blah, blah. It's all about you. And there was a Bill Cosby's voice saying, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is classic. Because that is perfect description of Christianity today. People believe that God just wants you to have everything you want, whatever you want to do, he's okay with. That is hogwash. He's looking for a body. He's looking for sons of God in the earth that are willing to be manifested by their submission to his authority. I'm talking about spiritual authority here. I'm not talking about you saying yes to me. Whatever you want, Pastor. I'm not talking about that. You'll have no issue with saying yes, Pastor, or no, Pastor, if you're submitted to his authority. Because when you're submitted to his authority, you'll know and understand and have a revelation of who his authority is in your life. It's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. I don't struggle with physical authority because I've submitted myself to spiritual authority. Now that's difficult. That's hard for us to grasp. What do you mean spiritual authority? Well, there are people who have spiritual authority in my life. I didn't pick them. I didn't choose them. Do you think I picked to be here? Do you think I picked to submit myself to Joel Hart? I didn't know who Joel Hart was from Adam. He's saying that Joel Hart's your pastor? No. He walks in a place of spiritual authority. Amen. And when he comes to me, there were last week we had a meeting. This is getting deep today. I didn't know this is where we were going. We had a meeting last week. We were talking about church finances. It was my wife and I, Bishop Sister Schoonover, Brother Hart and his wife. We were talking about church finances, and we weren't even talking about spiritual stuff. We were talking about money. We're talking about paying the light bill. And he said something. I can't even remember what he said. But he said, you know, especially for you, Nick and Kaylee. And he moved on. And we got in the truck. And I said, did you hear what Brother Hart said? She said, yeah. I said, did you listen? She said, yeah. I said, I don't know what that was about, but he felt specifically whatever he said was to mention mine and your names. And there were six people in the room. I'm telling you, my spiritual antennas bounced off the ceiling of their house. Why? I understand spiritual authority. This isn't about me going out there and searching for somebody who's got a voice in my life. Oh, it's you. Oh, I don't like what you said, so how about you? You be the voice of my life today. Have I ever gone to Joel Hart and said, you know, you're the voice in my life today? No, I trust a spirit of ministry that is witnessed in my spirit, which is in tune with the Spirit of God. And when I trust his spirit, when I trust his leading, and I'm in a gathering with someone and someone says, you know, Nick and Kaylee, you oughta. What did you just say? Would you repeat that? Because I want to be submitted to his authority. That's true spiritual authority. Believe me, I've had all kinds of people try to speak all kinds of things over my life. And there was one moment in time, my wife will admit this, and if you don't think this is true, you can go ask her after church personally. She literally prayed, Lord, close my ears. I don't want to hear this. Why? We were praying together. We were praying that someone began to speak things over us. There was no witness in her spirit of what was being said. And so she said, God, I don't want this in my spirit. It's an understanding of spiritual authority. And when I'm under spiritual authority, when I'm operating in spiritual authority, or when I'm under spiritual authority, I can operate spiritual authority. Spiritual authority isn't, Sister Susan, you need to stop wearing blue glasses. That's not spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is, oh, you're sick in your body? Oh, you got a situation in your family? Let's pray right now in Jesus' name. And I exercise authority and dominion. It's the binding and loosing we talked about a couple weeks ago outside. I can't, if I don't live under spiritual authority and operate in spiritual authority, then I have no ability to bind anything or loose anything. Anybody can say, I bind you. Oh, go ahead and try. You better have a couple of strong men and a really good set of handcuffs. You ain't getting me down, and you're going to have a couple black eyes when it's finished. Just ask the guys that tried to tape me to a pillar in Bible school one night. They'll tell you how hard it is. No, they didn't win. I won. It's called the element of surprise. You can't bind anything without authority. And so I can go around saying, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You know what the Spirit said to the seven sons of Sceva? Paul, I know. Who in the world are you? Who are you? Who do you think you are? Why? You know, I'm baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, really? You see the opposite pattern play out through the New Testament when Paul and Silas and Peter and John and the rest of the apostles who were submitted to spiritual authority, his authority. Oh, man. Shouldn't ask this question, but ask it anyway. Who is Peter's pastor? Who is Paul's pastor? I don't know the answer to that question. All I'm trying to help you to understand is they were submitted to spiritual authority. And thus the authority and power of the name of Jesus operated through them. I know it's a stupid question to say, do you understand the power that you possess as a body of believers who understand the power of the name of Jesus. I know that you understand. I know that you get that. I just want to help you. My desire is to help you walk in it. See, greater understanding will lead to a greater confidence in that authority. I believe that there's people who walk in authority and that have an authority on their lives who don't have a confidence to walk in that authority. There are people in this room who are submitted to the authority and power, the spiritual authority in their lives, who don't necessarily walk in that authority because they don't have the confidence spiritually to do that. I'm not talking about pride. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about walking around saying, I got a word for you. You ought to listen to me. I'm talking about being obedient to the voice of God when he says, you see that person over there? You need to get out of your seat and go pray for them. You need to go lay hands on their head and pray for them. They lack the confidence to do the simplest of tasks that they have the authority, the power, the leading and unction of the Holy Ghost to do. There's others, not in this room, but that walk around acting like they have authority and they got nothing. They got demons saying, who are you? They got sickness saying, who are you? They got bound people saying, who are you? I don't ever want to be a body, a church, where people walk in, a visitor walks in and says, what is this? I would rather people walk in and say, I'm not sure what that was today, but there was something there. I felt something. There was power there. There was authority there. I'm not talking about goosebumps all up and down your body. I'm not talking about tears streaming down your face. I'm talking about when you know in an instant the power and the authority of something. I may not know whose it is, but somebody's power and authority reigns there. I said a couple of weeks ago concerning prayer time that I had started taking seriously this idea of praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. I don't know if the Lord's taken me through this piece by piece and understanding by understanding, but I'm telling you, some of the most powerful prayer I've had the past few weeks has been when I begin to declare his name. What the scripture says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praying his name, praying the establishment of his name. Father, I am a believer. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I'm submitted to you, Father, whatever you want for today, and let that authority rest upon my life. I find myself at times waking up in the middle of the night. Allie gets up. I go back, put her back to bed, and then I can't go back to sleep. And I my favorite thing to do is to go into the bonus room of our house, because from the bonus room of my house, I can see up and down the streets and all my neighbors' houses. And I love to pray, let the name of Jesus be established on 34th Street Southeast at 1306 and 1307, 1308 and 13, even at 1309. Father, let your name be established.
Amen.
I want people, when they drive onto 34th Street Southeast, I want them to feel Jesus. I want them to know there's something different about this street. I told my wife three nights ago, we've had neighbors across the street from us that they're very nice people, young couple. He's a Black Hawk fighter pilot, travels the world, all these missions. Very nice people, but they've kind of kept distant. But in the last couple of weeks, all of a sudden they can't get away from us. I'm outside doing something. Next thing I know, he's in my front yard. Just randomly. I go outside two nights ago, went out to trim up a tree. I'm in the front yard. Next thing, his garage door opens. Here comes Will into the front yard. I don't believe he's just looking for somebody to talk to. I believe the Spirit of God is drawing him. He's not standing in the street saying, how you doing, neighbor? No, he wants to come over. Next thing I know, he was inside my garage. Wanting to talk to me. I believe he's feeling the power of Jesus' name. I've been praying it. Father, I want my neighbors to experience the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. Let that name be established on my street. I don't know why he's coming over other than that the Lord's drawing him. I didn't invite him over. I can't get away from. I go out to take the garbage out. Kaylee's hollering out the door 30 minutes later. Where are you? I got two neighbors in the driveway. I didn't go out to talk to the neighbors. I went out to take the garbage out and go to bed. It's 9:30 at night. Brian's still in the driveway talking. Can't get rid of him. I believe they're feeling the power of God. You can think what you want. But when in this day and age, listen, I'm as bad as the next person. I got a garage door opener in my car and truck, and I pull onto my street. I hit the driveway, hit the garage door opener. I go inside, and the garage is closed before I even get out. My neighbors do the same thing. There's very few people on my street that don't park in the garage. We are garage people. We go inside our houses. We don't speak to each other. Now, where I come from, everybody knew everybody, and everybody talked to everybody. That isn't the day and hour today. People don't talk to each other. There's people on my street, I don't even know their names. I confronted somebody at the park the other day while my daughter was playing because I knew they were my neighbors, and I see them drop their son off at the bus stop every day. And so I thought, you know what? You act like you don't know me. You walk past my house every single day. So I went to her, I said, you live on 34th Street, don't you? Well, yeah, who are you? I said, you walk your son past my house every day. I just want to introduce myself. I'm Nick. This is my wife, Kaylee. I want to know my neighbors because I want them to feel the drawing of the Spirit of God in my communication with them. We may never talk about Jesus one time. We might be talking about the Seahawks, the Huskies, the Ducks, or whatever. But every word that I speak, I want them to feel the drawing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, are you saying you can talk about the Seahawks and people can feel Jesus? Yep. It doesn't have to be, let me show you a scripture in the Bible. His Spirit is resident inside of me and His authority is in operation in my life. When I open my mouth and speak, I become a vessel that He can flow through, whether I'm talking about their ridiculous dog or the Seahawks. You believe that today? Would you stand with me? Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Father, give us understanding today. Allow us, Father, to understand as You choose. The power which we possess and the things that You desire to do through us with the power and the authority that You've put in us. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I don't feel to have a big altar call. If you want to pray, you're more than welcome to stay here and pray, but we're going to transition here eventually over to the park for some fellowship. God bless you.